From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. This week, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies on the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a subject of vital importance for the Church of Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Look and Live. The text is Numbers chapter 21, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. This is a glorious gospel type. Jesus, numbered with the transgressors, hangs before us on the cross. A look to Him will heal us of the serpent bite of sin, will heal us at once. When He looketh upon it, He shall live. Let the listener who is mourning his sinfulness note the words, Everyone that looketh upon it shall live. Every looker will find this true. I have found it so. I looked to Jesus and lived at once. I know I did. Sinner, if you look to Jesus, you will live too. True, you are swelling with the venom and you see no hope. True also, there is no hope but this one. But this is no doubtful cure. Everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. The brazen serpent was not lifted up as a curiosity to be gazed upon by the healthy, but its special purpose was for those who were bitten. Jesus died as a real Savior for real sinners. Whether the bite has made you a drunkard or a thief or an unchaste or a profane person, a look at the great Savior will heal you of these diseases and make you live in holiness and communion with God. Look and live.
Father's throne above, so free.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email, or by regular mail, or by telephone. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may phone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com. This week on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series in the person and work of the Holy Spirit as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Joy of the Spirit. The text is Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, in which the Apostle Paul declares one of the components of the kingdom of God to be joy in the Holy Ghost. As Dr. Cairns has already shown, this joy is not produced by mere orthodoxy. It is the result of the Holy Spirit's work in the heart, beginning at regeneration. Then the joy of the Spirit consists of the witness of the Spirit to Christ and all that believers have in Him. Also, as we'll see today, the sphere of our joy is walking in the Spirit, or living according to God's commands. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, The Joy of the Spirit.
The witness of the Spirit is the substance of our joy. The witness of the Spirit is to Christ. I'm not going to labor that point. I have spent a long time in the past in scriptures proving that. The witness of the Spirit is to the all-sufficient Christ. All the Holy Spirit's ministry really comes down to making Christ known in a saving way to the individual heart. That's the personal ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, what he does in the believer's life, therefore, witnessing to Christ, is to bring us to what Isaiah calls in chapter 12 and verse 3, to the wells of salvation. The personal ministry of the Holy Spirit in revealing Christ to us is to conduct us continually to Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. What is the substance then of the joy that the Holy Spirit gives us? Well, it's what we drink when we get to the wells of salvation. That's the substance of our joy. You turn to Isaiah 12 and see then, what do we drink at the wells of salvation? What is the substance of the believer's joy? I'm only going to list these things. You can study them carefully. It's a great 12th chapter of the prophecy. We read in verse 1, "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." Thine anger is turned away. The first part of the substance of the joy of the Lord is Christ our satisfaction. Christ the remover of the wrath of God. Christ the destroyer of the curse. God was angry with us, but now that we're at the wells of salvation, we can say, God is angry with us no more. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives us to drink of that well. The first substance of our joy is Christ, our satisfaction. Let me tell you, until Jesus Christ is known to you as the satisfier of the wrath of God and the law of God on your behalf, you cannot begin to have joy. Then in verse 2, Christ is our salvation. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I've often quoted the words of 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, where Christ is said to be made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. There is the fourfold description of Christ our salvation. Wisdom deals with the mind of sin, the mentality of sin. There's light now in the darkened mind because Christ is our salvation. Righteousness to deal with the guilt of our sin. We have a right standing with God. No longer are we under His curse. Sanctification to deal with the pollution and the power of sin. Thank God there's victory for the believer. Holiness by faith in Jesus. And then there's redemption. That's the consummation of it all. That's deliverance in totality from ultimately the very presence of sin. As we're brought into the presence of God, Christ is our redemption. Yes, He's our satisfaction, He's our salvation. Verse 2, He is our strength. In other words, we're well founded and we're well grounded. We shall not be moved. Then in verse 2, He is our song. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. In other words, He alone is our boast. We sing of His person. We sing of His perfection. We sing of His passion. We sing of His purpose, His power, His pardon, His prospect that He holds before us. It's Christ that's the theme of the believer's song. He is our song. So, this is the Spirit's witness to us. And the witness of the Spirit is the substance of our joy. It's so simple. But I tell you this, we have all experienced it. When you can see Christ, you rejoice. When you can't see Christ, you're as miserable as you can be. When you can see Christ, you can say with joy like David, "By my God, I have run through a troop. By my God, I have leaped over the wall." There's nothing too hard. There's nothing that's too much of a trial when you can see the Lord. Now, if you can't see Christ, if you lose the sight of the sunlight, then what a difference it is. Instead of jumping over a wall, you trip over a straw. You can do nothing. The witness of the Spirit is the substance of our joy. The walk in the Spirit is the sphere of our joy. We notice in the words of our text, it is joy or rejoicing in the Holy Ghost. It is in the Holy Ghost. And perhaps this is the reason why we're so deficient in joy. You see, you can't as a Christian have the joy of the Lord while you're living in the world, in the flesh, or for the devil. In Galatians 5, we are told, walk in the Spirit. Now, that's a very vital command. If you would experience the joy of the Lord, you must experience it as you walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It's not some mystical notion that so many people have about walking in the Spirit, that they're walking with their head in the air and their eyes shut and they're sticking their spiritual nose up into the skies to try and discern what the Spirit's mind is. That's not walking in the Spirit. That's nonsense. I was reading a little of the great Augustine, Bishop of Hippo. Augustine, one of the great theologians of the Christian Church, he wrote a theological treatise on the two cities. I'm not going into his theological treatise at all this morning, but in part of it, he comes to ask, what is the flesh? And he shows the various scriptural meanings of the word flesh. What does it mean to walk in the flesh? Everybody knows it means to walk in the flesh if you're walking in adultery, if you're walking in theft, if you're walking in open sin. Everybody knows that's walking in the flesh. But then he came to the mentally exalted philosophers who reject Christ. He came to those who are practicing the beauties of the arts, but they reject Christ. And he says, they, even in this, are walking in the flesh. Using even the gifts of common grace, yet they are walking in the flesh. Because, he says, at the heart of it all, to walk in the flesh simply means to walk according to self. It means to walk according to man. It means to walk according to your own human nature, your own human will. Divorced from the will of God, setting yourself up against God, making yourself the master of the will of God. It is to walk according to man. So what is it then to walk in the Spirit? It is to walk according to God. How do you know that you're walking according to God, that you're walking according to that book? You're walking according to God's Word. That's walking in the Spirit. Not merely with any external obedience, but with a heart obedience. When the heart is brought to the place of captivity to the Word of God, when the will of the man involved is brought to captivity to the will of God revealed in Scripture by His Spirit and sealed to our hearts by that self-same Spirit, then that man is walking according to the Spirit. And this is what we're told, walk in the Spirit. That's the sphere of experiencing Christ. I want to tell you, you will not experience Christ walking according to the mind of the flesh. You will not experience Christ running after some of the aesthetics of the world. There are some people who think that the beauty of the art world, this is of course seen in all the great cathedrals of Europe, the beauty of the art world somehow or other will communicate the beauty of Christ. But that doesn't happen. If you want proof of that, the most ornate and beautiful buildings in Christendom are Roman Catholic chapels and cathedrals. And you'll never find any greater spiritual darkness or less of Christ any place outside of hell itself. And I say that honestly. You'll never find any greater darkness regarding Christ than where there's all this beauty. You see, what we're talking about here is that the sphere of Christ communicated is in the Spirit. It is when the Holy Spirit of God comes and takes Christ as He's revealed in the pages of Scripture, applies Him to the heart, lets the eye of faith see Jesus, and the response of faith to Jesus will be effervescent joy. That's why you know our Protestant forefathers, in so many cases, were called iconoclasts. They went round knocking down beautiful Roman Catholic statues and buildings, etc. And that's why when they built their churches, they built them very plain. The normal Presbyterian meeting house was a square, a very boxy-looking building. If you see them over in Scotland or Ireland to this day, they're solid walls about 18 inches thick, built in a square, and about a roof at 30 degrees, not a terribly steep roof, and doesn't look great. Wooden pews that were never meant to look too good and never meant to feel too good. You people are very well off, because then they preached for 2 or 3 hours, and they had these straight upright things. In fact, put two of them together and cut a bit off the top, and you've got a coffin already made. Why did they do it that way? Because they took the very opposite view. You put exceeding great artistic beauty around people, and you're going to get somebody looking at all the artwork. Oh, how lovely it is. And he may be aesthetically pleased and go to hell. Whereas they wanted people to have no distraction, because as they got the pulpit from the corner of the old, as it was in the old Roman Catholic buildings, and got it into the center, and they got the word of God out before the people, and they started to preach to those people, they wanted them to see Jesus. Because that's the only way ever to have real joy. He is the substance of our joy. And as we have the Spirit, we have the sphere of our joy. And joy is the natural result of fellowship with God. Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. When you're in the presence of God, you'll have the joy of the Lord. The walk in the Spirit is the sphere of our joy.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.